I just noticed something, and I never noticed this before. So our text line is acting up, so I actually don't have access to the text line. That's why we haven't read any text. Rob, did you know that our old text line number is still up? And did you know that people text the number? Now I see why some of you get so mad. You have been texting the show, and quite literally, no one logs into that number anymore. I don't even know how I'm on the number right now. So I was on it earlier. We were using the text line. I got kicked off. It then like auto-logged me into an old login for it. And now it's the old number, the 586-7610 number. We don't use that number anymore. Now I see why sometimes you guys are so angry on the text line. Because you're just basically just talking into the ether. No one reads this. Not a single person reads this. Like, oh man, they never reply to my text. Because you ain't talking to nobody. That's why nobody replies. I just want you to know that. So if you're texting the old number, if you're texting the 7610 number, I just want to let you know that no one monitors that number. Please delete that number out your phone and text the right one correctly. The 913-586-7965. Please text that one and you'll just be a happier individual. And then there's a chance that I read your text. And then there's a chance that I respond to your text because I will have seen it. Let's go to the phone lines. Someone I always respond to is Jacob Milham. He is with Kings of Kaufman. Jacob Milham, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm just glad you've never left me on red, C-Dot. These folks out here, they're trying to make their voices heard.
No,
but the interwebs are stifling it.
No, that's fair. You know what? I want to make sure that everybody gets their voice read. I really do. I want to make sure that everybody is happy. I honestly want to make that the case. So let's just start with this. It felt to me that on Tuesday night, we were looking at the possibility of baseball season being over. The Royals were down 4-0 heading into the eighth inning. You cannot afford to lose a series to the Chicago White Sox, not at this stretch in the season. And then magic happened. The Royals score 5 runs in the final 2 innings. They win that game 5-4. They still had more offense to go. They scored 12 runs yesterday. How do the Royals do this where every time you think that baseball season could be over and then we could move on, the Royals always pull some kind of magic trick at the end?
It's just like the Godfather, ain't it? Every time we think we're out, they pull us right back in, see that? That's just how it goes. And yeah, it was evaluating just the vibes on Tuesday night to Thursday night immensely different. And, you know, it's, people say, oh, well, you can't afford to lose this series. And from the Royals' perspective, I get it. In the wild card standings, you literally cannot afford to lose that series. And thankfully they didn't. They pulled it out. But then you're going up against a team this weekend in the Detroit Tigers that got swept. They got swept by the homeless Athletics. They don't even have a home stadium. So, I mean, it's... no team is perfect. This is baseball. It's 162 games. Anything can happen on any given night.
Jacob, why do you think the Royals have been so bad against teams that are 500 or better? Now, most teams struggle against those teams. Those are the good teams in the sport. So I don't want to make it seem like everybody is great against them and not the Royals. But, I mean, they've been just beyond struggling against those teams. If the Royals end up missing the postseason, it will be because of two things. It will be because the month of June, where they completely drown themselves, it will then also be because, like, they could just never win a series or get hot or have one of those stretches against teams that really matter. Why have they struggled so much?
I wish I had the answer. Like, there's no specific answer. And if I had to gander, I think it's because something that Josh Reiner has brought up several times, and it's because it's the truth. The Royals this year, especially, have not been truly elite in any one area, right? There's so many facets to the game, and yeah, the fielding is well above average. Don't get me wrong there, but you know those blunders cost a lot more. They're not elite at home runs. They have too many issues on the base paths sometimes. The starting pitching, especially down the stretch, has really waned. And now we're seeing, you know, once the bullpen got taxed, things got really dicey there for a little bit. And I think that's it. There's nothing that across the entire season the Royals can hang their hat on and say, we are a top three team in this, right? And that's not something that other teams have had to shut down, if that makes sense. I don't know what's going on with the Royals when they face teams above 500. It's so frustrating. It really is, because that's the fuel to the fire of so many people saying this is a good team. This isn't a playoff team. This is a good team. This is probably a winning record team, I would hope. But this just doesn't feel like a playoff team, and I think that record above 500 is the reason why.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham. He is with Kings of Kauffman. Talking a little Royals baseball here is the Royals. They are three games back of the Mariners. That's really the only team that kind of matters now at this point, at least in my mind, is will they have the ability to be able to catch the Mariners? I do want to kind of look ahead to that series coming up in just a bit, but let's focus in on, I guess, present day and what the Royals are doing. Vinny Pasquantino has been on fire. I was talking to Denny a couple days ago, and he described Vinny as a guy that can just drive in runs. And I made the note to Vern, that's just like in basketball when you say a guy can just go get you a bucket. I'm not really sure if there's a better compliment that you can have for a first baseman than a guy who can just drive in runs. And that's what Vinny has done for really the last calendar year.
Yeah, he absolutely has. And it is, he gets, whether it's getting himself across home plate with putting one over the left field fence or driving in Bobby or Mike Yastrzemski in from second base, he gets those guys in and he puts a run up on the board, and that's all that really matters. He is, you know, it is insane how different this lineup has felt once he recaptured that 2024 strength, right? Like 2024 was not a perfect year for Vinny Pasquantino at all, and it is unfortunate that he lost out on the latter part of that season with that injury. But he was great in, whether it's a sacrifice fly, whether it was just hitting one to the gap or screaming one into right field, he was able to get it done. And yeah, he's been great. He has been awesome. And just like you talked about, well, what would the Royal season look without that month of June? I wonder what would Vinny's season stats look like if you started the year off in May. He had a really slow start to the year. And I remember things were bad enough that folks weren't calling for Jack Caglione to go to the outfield. They were calling for Jack Caglione to be the first baseman for the Royals. And now that just feels like an otherworldly thought. And that is all a credit to what Vinny is doing at the plate.
From a financial standpoint, how would you kind of handle Vinny Pasquantino? Are you going to do kind of the Cole Reagans, Hunter Dozier, where you just basically buy out his arbitration? Or are you interested in a more long-term solution fix for Vinny Pasquantino?
So, of course, you got to focus on buying up the arbitration, I would say. And I wouldn't put too much stock in extending into its free agent years, if that makes sense. That's more of a concern when you have guys that are, you know, they're making their debut when they're 22 or 23 years old, and you don't have that team control much past their athletic prime. That's not so much the case with Vinny. Like, you have him, he's in his baseball prime right now, or at least in the beginning of it. He's going to be 28 opening day 2026, and you know, he's not a free agent until 2029. So I would say extend him out through the 2031 season. Then you get the best years of Vinny Pasquantino. And from his side, he can look at that. Okay, I have some stability here with the Kansas City Royals. And if he is still good enough at that point, once the deal expires, well, he could probably go get another lengthy contract in free agency at that point. I would love the idea of extending Vinny Pasquantino if I didn't think that Michael Garcia was a bigger extension priority in my mind. Does that make sense, Cito?
Yeah, no, it absolutely makes a lot of sense. Right now we're talking to Jacob Milham with Kings of Kauffman, just getting his thoughts on where we are right now with the Kansas City Royals. They have added a couple of new players since the last time that you and I got a chance to speak. I guess let's start with this. I give the Royals a lot of credit for not giving up. I think a lot of people were telling the Royals in early August, late July to kind of just give up. You know what I mean? Like, hey, the trade deadline is coming up. Trade Seth Lugo. Start to get ready for 2026. That is obviously not what the Royals have done. They kind of retooled the bottom half of that lineup on the fly, and I think it's paid major dividends.
It has. It absolutely has. And that is, you know, Mike Yastrzemski has been head and shoulders above what I think anyone expected him to be, right? Like I expected him to be the left-handed side of the platoon with Randall Grichuk. I thought that was what he was going to be. And he has just been an excellent leadoff bat for this Royals lineup. And I think the ripple effects have been immense, right? No offense to Jonathan India, but Mike Yastrzemski has just been a much better batter in that leadoff spot, and that has pushed Jonathan India down to the back half of the lineup. But he's doing great in that role. And sometimes we talk about guys just needing a change of scenery. Well, it doesn't always mean changing teams, right? Like that batting sixth or seventh just later on changes how you approach the plate appearance. And Jonathan India has looked much more like the guy that Royals fans hoped he would be from the get when the team traded for him this offseason. And we saw another guy last night that the Royals got at the trade deadline that has really helped this team stay in it, and Ryan Berger. And we give a lot of credit to Noah Cameron and Noah Cameron's success as a rookie, and he deserves it. Ryan Berger is right there with him for an elite rookie starting pitching. And just the production has been amazing. It was great in San Diego, but how he has changed things and just kept the momentum going in Kansas City in a bigger role. I don't know, this past trade deadline, it couldn't have gotten much better for the Royals, and that has really kept them in the playoff race, even though they're three games back from the Mariners.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Burgert. I mean, that was kind of one of those pieces that I know it was kind of difficult in the short term to give up Freddie Fermin, a guy that we all liked, but I think you like Burgert, obviously, for the short term. He's been a positive for this team. Also, looking at the long term, like what it does more than anything is it just gives the Royals options. It gives them various options of what they can do this offseason. If they're going to keep a pitcher, if they're going to trade a pitcher, use it as collateral to try to get something more in a trade. That's what I think Burgert really kind of gives them. He just gives them a lot of roster flexibility.
Yes, he absolutely does. And it is, you know, we don't think about Dayton Moore very much in Kansas City Royals baseball anymore, I imagine. But he was right when he says pitching is the currency of baseball. And Ryan Berger is, you know, in this world where starting pitching is at a premium in free agency right now, even relief pitchers who have a chance of becoming a starting pitcher are getting very good money on the open market. It's really made such a good, controllable, team-friendly player that much more valuable. And Ryan Berger, I don't think he's just scratching the surface, if that makes sense. I think he could still get much, much better, but I think he could do it for a long time if the Kansas City Royals will have him.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham for a few more minutes here, just getting his thoughts on the Kansas City Royals as they are about to head into a series against the Detroit Tigers. What are your expectations for this Tigers series? We touched on it just a bit. I don't think it's realistic to pick the Royals to win this series. I would love to pick them to win the series, but just history tells you that they are probably not going to win this series. I want to be hopeful. I want to be optimistic. Give me the path for the Royals taking care of business this weekend against Detroit.
I mean, I think the path between them winning the series and losing it ultimately runs through Saturday. That is still, you know, Noah Cameron, he's getting towards that scary workload point, and the Royals they don't have him listed as the starting pitcher on Saturday. So I think that's going to be a big thing. Seth Lugo taking the mound on Friday night, we're going to need some 2024 Seth Lugo. If they want to win that game and ultimately the series, we can't have the Seth Lugo that we've been seeing across the past month. You know, that the start against the Rangers was really hopeful and really reminiscent of what he can do. but he just hasn't done that consistently over the past couple of weeks. So it's been frustrating. If you look at these two teams are so close on paper, CDOT. I'm not even kidding. If you go and look up how the batters have been doing, how the pitching has been doing since the All-Star break, these two teams are very, very close. This game might just come down to star power, genuinely, because we have seen so many games from the Detroit Tigers where Riley Green just takes over and powers them to a win. He's the guy that can go get you that bucket and that win. Or Spencer Torkelson, the former highly regarded prospect. He's finding a new groove this season. He is the guy that can go out and get you that win. Now, can Bobby Wood Jr. do the same thing? Can Salvador Perez go out and have just an elite game? Can Vinny Pasquantino have another huge game at the plate? I think that this is going to be decided in the margins, and just the star power, whoever shines brightest, can push you into that winning spot. I expect this to be a very competitive series. If I had to bet it, unfortunately, I wouldn't bet that the Royals would win the overall series. I'm with you, C-Dot. It's the Detroit Tigers are where they are this late in the season for a good reason. They are a very good ball club. But like I said earlier, anything can happen. A very good ball club lost the Athletics 3 games in a row. So we'll just have to see what happens and tune in and find out.
Jacob, last thing here. The only thing that I want, and this is the one thing I'm asking for, I want the Royals to be within striking distance of Seattle in a couple of weeks. I just want to see what Kauffman Stadium is going to be like. I want to see what Kauffman's going to be like when the Royals are 2.5 games back of the team that's directly ahead of them, and these games matter. They're not going to be playoff games, but they're going to feel like playoff games in terms of importance and what it means for you actually making the postseason. That's all I want. I don't care how they get there, but I really want that Mariners series to mean something.
I think it will. I really, really think it will. If I can go on a tangent real quick,
of course.
Jack Johnson, really, really great guy. He knows his stuff when he talks about Royals baseball. Last year, I remember he tweeted out a really long video of pops from Kauffman Stadium playoff history over the 2014-2015 run. And we know that Kansas City can be a baseball town. We saw it then. We saw the parade. We saw the sea of blue. We can see it. And I think that this team can take it to that Mariners series and keep it within striking distance. I really can. I will, if Royals fans need any hope out there, they ain't going to find it in the numbers. I'll tell you that much, C-Dot. Fangraphs has them at a 14% chance of making the playoffs. It doesn't look good. But, man, if they take advantage of a favorable schedule through to that Mariners series, they could take advantage of that, then, well, I think those games will have a big impact on their overall odds. Now, are the Royals going to be healthy? Or are the Mariners going to be healthy? Is that going to be another series decided by star power? I don't know. But the Royals they need to take care of business one game at a time. And it all starts with the Detroit Tigers.
That is Jacob Milham joining us on the show today. He's with Kings of Kauffman covering the Royals. Jacob, great stuff, man. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, C-Dot. I'll chat with you later.